I want to draw your attention tonight to the miniature Bible. I'm not talking about necessarily the size of it, but I'm actually talking about the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah has been called the miniature Bible. There's a couple reasons for that. One that probably is the most obvious is while the Bible has 66 chapters, two main divisions, Old and New Testament, there's 39 chapters in the Old, 27 chapters in the New Testament, the book of Isaiah is similarly divided. The first division of it is 39 chapters, in fact, and the last 27 chapters. It's interesting because according to one writer, Isaiah contains 111 separate predictions. That's a lot. And that's typically why we refer to Isaiah as the Messianic prophet, because there's so many prophecies concerning the Messiah and the kingdom of the Messiah and so forth. All those things that are surrounding those Messianic prophecies. But a couple of those seem to stand out in particular. And we won't have time to read each of these. I'm just going to kind of go through a list. I want to show you the enormity, if you will. It has 1,292 verses, 754 of those deal with future events that are going to take place. Some 59% of the book, in other words. A few of those messianic prophecies. There's a future temple, which is going to be for all nations. That's going to be the kingdom. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. It speaks of the glorious branch. That branch is capitalized. Isaiah 4, verses 2 through 6. You have the virgin birth of Emmanuel, Isaiah 7, 13 and 14. The shoot of the stem of Jesse, Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. The conversion of the Gentiles, Isaiah 19, 18 through 25. The new Jerusalem, Isaiah 54, Isaiah chapter 60 as well. The marriage supper of the Lamb, the ministry of the Messiah, the servant as a light to the Gentiles, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, those chapters. The willing and obedient servant, Isaiah chapter 50. The redemption that would be achieved by that servant, Isaiah 52 and 53. The promises to David that would be fulfilled, Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. And you'll remember that in that chapter as well, that prophecy or that statement, if you will, that my word will not return unto me void. And you think about all those prophecies, all of those predictions that are made, and some 60% of the book dealing specifically with some future event that was going to take place. You might begin to understand then why many people would look to Isaiah as the miniature Bible, in fact. There's numerous other things that we could probably list concerning the book of Isaiah. But one thing that stands out as well is the first part of Isaiah reminds us that God will, in fact, judge us. We have 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that we'll all stand before the very judgment seat of Christ and give an account thereof of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The second part of Isaiah reminds us that there is hope, and there's hope in the Messiah. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in Emmanuel. Hope in that one that would be born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7. He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer. He is that servant. He is that branch. He is the hope of Israel. He is the very Lamb of God. And so think about what Isaiah has to say all about the Christ himself, the Messiah. I think it's interesting to study the book of Isaiah. It is one that's sometimes overlooked, sometimes because of really the enormity, the size of the book itself, that there's so much that's there. But you have to remember that Isaiah was prophesying during a time when both the northern kingdom and southern kingdom were still standing, some 700 years before Christ, and those prophecies coming to pass just as Isaiah had written by inspiration of God. Those prophecies stand as not just predictions of future events, but they also stand for us as evidence of the very inspiration of God and that His Word is, in fact, true. And so to think about what he would state in Isaiah 55 verses 9 and 10, that his word would not return unto him void, that has to do also not just those predictions, but it has to do with the Messiah's word, the New Testament, what he would bring forth in his blood, bring forth a new covenant. And in that very new covenant, he would explain the way of salvation, that it was through him. The way unto the Father was by Jesus himself. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And in so doing, we can respond. Because even today, the Lord's word will not return void. We proclaim it. We stand in it. We preach it to others. But we better be living it ourselves daily in our lives. And so we see Jesus explain the way unto salvation. As Isaiah made clear that even the wayfarer can find it, Isaiah 35 and verse 8. What is that way of salvation? That we could believe in Jesus as the very Son of God. The one whom all these predictions were about, he fulfilled. They pointed to Jesus himself. We can believe him as the very Son of God. Confess our faith in him. Repent of our sins and be baptized to wash away our sins. Calling upon the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 6. But in so doing, the Lord will add you unto his church. That's the plan. That's the way unto salvation. And so we have an opportunity as well. Will the Lord's word return void? It will not for his purpose, but will it for your purpose and my purpose? Will we be faithful unto that word? It's very clear that it is truth, looking at Isaiah's prophecy and those things coming to pass in the new covenant. This evening, while we think many of us have obeyed the gospel, but are we living that daily in our lives for others to see and living it faithfully that we might have that home promised, even there in Isaiah as well, looking forward to a new heaven? If we have those who have a need, we stand ready to pray for you, to encourage you in every way that we know how. Come to the front while we stand, while we sing this song.